Good evening. I wanted to revisit this topic of perfection because we live in a time when people look to be perfect, whether it be spiritually or physically. And of course, perfection is part of our world. You have people, especially with the new year here, people look to perfect themselves, to be a better self. But the truth is, perfection is unreachable. No one is perfect, and it won't happen. We have flaws, whatever they may be. But all we can do is do better, is strive every day to live better than the previous day. And that's what we need to focus on. But when we look at Matthew 5:48, what do you see within that text? Of course, we know what is being said there. We are to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. But when you just take at that text and say, we need to be perfect, this is why we need to look at the context. Because they look at this text and say, they see we need to be perfect. Flawless. Guess what? If we look at it that way, then there's condemnation because we will not be perfect. So what does Christ mean here with verse 48 of Matthew 5? Well, let's jump into the text and see. What does God mean by perfect? Well, the immediate context is important. And so when we look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 45 through 47, we get a glimpse of what's being said with verse 48. So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? But the conclusion, which is verse 48, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. What he is saying here, including the context, is to be complete, whole, mature, reflecting the Father's character. And there are other scriptures that we can look at that are consistent with that. James chapter 1, verse 4, and let perseverance have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. As well as in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern both good and evil. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Him we proclaim, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Biblical perfection is not the claim, I never sin. It is the pursuit of full devotion, integrity, spiritual maturity, and wholeness. We must give everything to him, complete devotion. We give all of our time, energy, our whole life to Christ. He is the center of our life. That's what Christ asked for. He doesn't expect someone to be perfect as God is perfect. There's no way. There was only one who was perfect while walking this earth, and that was Christ. But for us human beings, guess what? We're full of flaws. We have skeletons in the closet. We fail daily. Now, does that mean all hope is lost? No, that's why God sent his son down here, to die, to provide us a way, to have eternal life. And it is only through his son which we can have eternal life. But do we need to be perfect? No, but should we strive for perfection? Absolutely. Because there are two dangerous errors about perfection. The first error, you have despair. If I can't be flawless, why try? This is one error that many fall into. If I can't be perfect, then why should I even show up? Why should I even try? But what that error does It's pulling them away from truth. It's pulling them away from Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Notice there. Grow in the grace and knowledge. This way of thinking confuses God's standard with hopelessness. God's standard is high, but God also commands us to grow. He does hold us to higher standards. Does that mean we're going to reach and meet those standards? No. That's why he calls us to grow. Every day we should be spending time in his word, in prayer, growing. That's our part as Christians. The more you spend time with God in his word and in prayer, the more you're going to grow closer. And you're going to spiritually mature and understand, this is what God expects me to do. I'm going to do it. But I'll tell you, as a minister, one thing that I have is putting my foot in my mouth. I've done it plenty of times, and I will probably continue to do it until the day I die. It's just a flaw of mine. I speak before listening a lot of times. And that's why I've been trying to work on it. Slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to anger. And so, once again, we need to look at our flaws, the things that we struggle with the most, and work on them. Grow closer to Christ. Memorizing text on what you struggle with will help you grow, help you mature. Error number two, pretending. I'll look perfect even if I'm not. I'll look perfect. You know, this creates religious hypocrisy. Polishing the outside while ignoring the heart. And we see this brought about in Matthew 23. Who is Christ talking about here? The Pharisees. They were the prime definition of religious hypocrisy. On the outside, they looked like holy men, going about their time, praying on the street corners, standing on the street corners, preaching the law. But inwardly, they were defiled. Inwardly, they were full of sin. We know they struggled with pride, envy. They held themselves higher than everyone else. But what did Christ say about that? Christ calls his followers to be servants, to lower themselves as low as a servant. Christ, who was the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, was the perfect example of how we need to be. Jesus warned against external religion that hides internal corruption. And that's what he does here with Matthew 23. And so these two errors are costing people their souls. Sadly, there is one lady I watched a video of. She was on a podcast. And she grew up Calvinist. Well, what happened with that doctrine? It drove her away from Christ. It drove her away from God. She no longer believes in God. She hates God. And that is sad that that happens. And it happens all the time. We look at people within cults. When they finally get out of cults, if they do, they have no desire for God. And it's so sad. And that's what the Pharisees would do with their hate towards the Gentiles, looking at Gentiles like they were lower, like they were scum. But yet they themselves inwardly were lost, full of sin. So when we look at perfection, once again, it's not calling us to be flawless. Yes, we should strive for it, but it doesn't mean we're going to do it. So how, as Christians, should we pursue perfection biblically? Well, we know perfection begins with a new foundation. When we look at places like Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, and in him you have been filled, who is the head over all rule and authority. We do not become complete by self-improvement. We become complete by union with Christ in obedience to his gospel. That's when we become complete. You know, we have a lot of views, a lot of people who have these views. I need to improve myself before I come to Christ. No. Christ calls you as you are to come to Him. The only way you're going to fix yourself or be fixed is through Jesus Christ and His blood. That's when we are made complete. As we see in places like Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 22:16, "Now why do you delay? Rise up and be immersed and wash away your sins, calling on His name." This is why the church emphasizes the biblical pattern of salvation. It points to Christ. You have to come through Christ. You cannot be made complete outside of Christ. There's no way. Secondly, perfection is pursued through obedience from the heart. John 14:15, a text that you'll probably hear a lot more this year. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." God is not looking for occasional religious activity. He is looking for a whole life submitted to His will. We have a lot of people who look at worship as, "Well, as long as I come once a week, I'm good. As long as I, you know, that's the one day that I come and I hear His word spoken," which is a good thing. But at the same time, what time are you giving Him outside? If you're going right back into doing what you were doing and putting Christ on the back burner, you're not pursuing Him. You're not obeying. Once again, perfection is pursued through obedience from the heart. If we are striving every day to be perfect, we are being in His word constantly. We are obeying His word constantly and consistently. Now, once again, with that said, there will be bumps in the road. There will be times that we do fail. But, thankfully, with Christ's blood, which continues to wash us as long as we come and we repent, there continues that sacrifice for us, as told in Hebrews. Thirdly, perfection grows through discipline and training. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, "But refuse godless myths, fit only for old women. On the other hand, train yourself for the purpose of godliness." Here is Paul telling Timothy right here. Don't think about or fall into these godless myths. But for you, train yourself for the purpose of godliness. So when we look here, how can we do that today? Through His word. That's how we are trained. That's how we learn what we need to do, how we need to act, how we are to portray ourselves before the world. His word should be our guide through this life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, laying aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." We know Paul, one hand, would talk about running the race and that the end was near for him. Guess what? God wants intentional growth. He doesn't want pretending to go on. A Christian who truly loves Christ will keep His commandments, will intentionally grow. We'll look for that discipline. We'll look for that training in His word and we'll be consistent with it. Fourth, perfection includes honest confession and continual cleansing. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. "But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." A mature Christian does not deny sin. What we do is fight it and confess it. Because we need to understand we sin daily. We do. And to deny that we sin daily, we deceive ourselves. We also make God a liar. Because as God's word says, you look in places like Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We do sin daily. If you've had a perfect day, let me know. I've never had one. I want to know what it's like. This is what pursuing perfection as a Christian looks like. It's not easy work. It's hard. It's a hard, and I talk about the Christian life. There are great and many benefits, and the greatest being eternal life. But that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. We're battling against our flesh daily. We're fighting it. We're fighting those desires. We confess, and we should confess our sins daily to Christ. Of course, He knows. We just need to remember the mercy that God showed. Because He showed great mercy. He showed great love by sending His Son down here to die, to provide us a way. We do need to strive for perfection every day. So what being perfect looks like in real life? A perfect Christian has an undivided loyalty. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. A perfect Christian has undivided loyalty. Nothing else takes the place of Christ in our life. He is the center of our life. Now, does that mean that sometimes we may put some things in front? Sure. It's sin. Of course, we do have idols today. Idolatry's alive and well today in our society, even in the church. But it's important for us to see and understand. A mature Christian will understand, I have sinned and I need to go to the Father. Secondly, a perfect Christian loves like the Father. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We're not called to just love those who love us. That's easy to do, isn't it? My parents, when I talk to my parents, they tell me, I love you before we hang up the phone. And I say, I love you back. It's easy to do that. But to love those who hate us, to love those who drag our name to the mud, to love those who harm us, that's on a whole different level. And let me tell you, a mature Christian, a complete Christian, will love those who persecute, will love those who hate them. And it's hard to do. I think about Christ. God sent what was most precious to Him, to earth, to be treated like He did. Yet Christ, while on that cross, uttered the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is powerful. Because can we do the same thing? A perfect Christian, a complete Christian, a mature Christian would do so. Thirdly, a perfect Christian takes sin seriously. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We are not to excuse sin. We are not to redefine sin. We are not to make peace with sin. We are called to cast off sin and to be pure, to be holy. If we don't take sin seriously, then guess what? We're going to fall to it. And that's what happens when we fall into snares. When we do sin, we don't take it seriously enough. And it is a struggle. It will continue to be a struggle until the end of days. We need to take it more seriously. That means casting off entertainment that we shouldn't be watching. That means casting off music that we shouldn't be listening to. There are so many things that, and really it boils down to this, don't be conformed to the world. Sadly, there are many within the church who have conformed to the world. They allow their children to do things that really Christian parents shouldn't be letting their children do, and telling them why. And there are many things that parents do themselves that they shouldn't be. They should be examples to their children, godly examples. And finally, and this is the most important one we need to remember, a perfect Christian keeps pressing forward. This is where a lot of people fail, because we do fall into sin, and when we do, there are times Satan, and he loves using that. Well, God won't forgive you this time. God, there's no way God loves you now that you've committed this. So just give up. But here is what Paul says to the Philippians in chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it or already have become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. This is Paul when he was writing to them. He was in prison. He was in chains. I'm sure he was suffering. I'm sure there were moments he was thinking, should I just give up and just give in so I can be free? We don't know that for sure. But we need to understand, even after failure, even after setbacks, we must continue forth. We must pick ourselves up and run to God. The prodigal son, when you think about the prodigal son, when he left, he took his part of the inheritance, went, squandered it, and lost it all. I mean, he was at a point where he was willing to eat what the pigs were eating. Yet, when he finally realized, you know what? Maybe if I go back to my father, maybe he'll make me like one of his servants. Maybe he'll make me be like his servants, work and pay what I owe back. And so on his way back, he's thinking, I'm going to tell my father, I'm sorry, I sinned against you. You know, and before he could even get close, the father sees him and runs to him and embraces him. And puts the best clothes on him, brings out, makes a feast, everybody celebrated. I'm sure that's not what he was thinking about. I'm sure that the son there was thinking, there's no way. I'm going to have to work. I'm going to have to pay back his debt. But the father that day was so happy to have his son who was dead to be alive once again. And that's how God does. He's waiting and desiring that all people come to him, that they give their life to him. That's who God is. Even when we are at our lowest, God is sitting there asking for us to come back and willing. He is faithful and he will forgive, as we're told in 1 John. So when we look at perfection, especially with this new year, we need to strive to be complete. We need to strive to be mature Christians, consistently going to his word, consistently praying, communicating, and living like he would live. That's what we are called to do, is strive, to try. Just try. Try your hardest every day to please God. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, as God is perfect, but knowing when you do mess up, the Father is willing and the Father is waiting for you to come back to him, to repent and to keep moving forward. That's what we are called to do. This life won't be easy and never will be easy. So if there's anyone here tonight who's not a Christian, understand you're not going to be perfect. But being with God, being in Christ is far, far better than being in the world. Because with Christ, you will have eternal life. You will be in heaven one day. But as long as you continue in the world, you don't have hope. But understand, God loves you and he calls for you. He wants you to be a part of the kingdom. And so if you're here this evening, you're not a Christian, this is how you do it. First, you must hear and believe the word. But then there are conditions that need to be met. We must repent. That means change. You are changing your life. You're doing a 360. And you're turning back to God. Then you must confess your faith in Christ. You must confess Him before men. Not deny Him, confess Him before men. But it doesn't stop there like so many doctrines teach. We must be immersed for the forgiveness of sins. When we are put in that water, our old self is being buried, put to death in the likeness of Christ. And the blood of Christ washes over us, washes us white as snow. When we raise out of that water in the likeness of His resurrection, we are now a new creation. We are perfect. Won't last. But from that point on, we must remain faithful. That means we must strive to grow more mature. We must strive for perfection every day, being consistent in His word and in prayer. Or if there are those who were Christians, have gone astray, now's the time to come forward and to come back to God, to repent. And He is willing, with arms wide open, waiting for you to come forward and to be reconciled to Him once again. So if there's anyone here this evening that needs any assistance, I pray and hope that you choose this night to come forward as we stand and as we sing.